بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت يا حي يا قيوم تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا سهلا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا يقربنا إليك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين يا فتاح يا عليم افتح لنا فتحا قريبا يا فتاح يا عليم افتح لنا فتحا قريبا يا فتاح يا عليم افتح لنا فتحا قريبا نويل تعلم والتعليم والنفع والانتفاع والمذاكره والتذكير والافاده والاستفاده والحث على تمسك بكتاب الله وسنه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ودعاء الهدى ودلاله على الخير ابتغاء وجه الله ومرضاته وقربه وثوابه سبحانه امين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين. So we have reached in our study of the text of Sayyidina al-Imam Qutb al-Irshadi wa Ghawth al-Ibadi wal-Bilad Sayyidina al-Imam Abdullah ibn Alawi al-Haddad, the pole of guidance and the supporter and savior of those who seek help and assistance, Sayyidina al-Imam Abdullah ibn Alawi al-Haddad. We've reached in his text to chapter, his text of titled Knowledge and Wisdom. We reached to chapter 20. So inshallah we'll read that first, inshallah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. This is chapter 20, The Pair of Opposites. Those whose powers of discernment are weak may observe the opposites in this world, such as light and darkness, good and evil, righteousness and corruption, benefit and harm, and so on. They may turn this over in their minds and then perhaps imagine that had the world been exclusively of light, goodness, good functioning, and beneficence, it would have been better and more useful. They may then raise objections to Allah's creation of the opposite of these, and go on to think that there is neither cause nor wisdom behind their existence. This is but ignorance, inability to reason, and unawareness. For God, transcendent is He, to whom all praise belongs, is the wisest of sovereigns. To Him belongs the absolute knowledge that encompasses all things from all sides, and He is the ablest of the able and the most merciful of the merciful. It has been related that God the Exalted said, "Indeed I am God, there is no God but I. I create good and evil, and for each of them I create people. Blessed are those I create for good and through whom I bring in about. And woe to those I create for evil and through whom I bring it about. And twice woe to those who ask why and how. Those who say why, how, and if only, when they see things that which they are able neither to understand nor to perceive the wisdom within, are those who dispute and raise objections to Allah's management of His creation. Know that the existence of the world as it is, with its multitude of opposing and contrasting things, is most complete and excellent, and could not have been better or more wisely made, considering the reason behind it and what it was created for. So know this. The explanation of this is that the world can be conceived in four different ways. Number one, as it is now, that is containing opposition. Number two, made of pure goodness and absolute beneficence. Number three, made of evil and harm exclusively. Number four, non-existent. There is no conceivable fifth condition. As for non-existence, it is no thing and has no reality, so neither can it have a meaning. As for pure goodness, had the world been that way, many beneficial things and wise arrangements would have been impeded or abolished. The world would have half an existence, and its very purpose would have been impossible to achieve. As for pure evil and harm, it would have obviously eliminated all usefulness or beneficence. You know now from what has just been stated that the condition in which the world was created is the best and most perfect. This is akin to the concept discussed by Imam al-Ghazali in the book of Tawheed in the Ihya, where he says at the end, a better world there could never have been. This statement is sound, acceptable, and there can be no objection to it. But yes, when he went to great lengths in the exposition of this idea, may Allah the Exalted have mercy on him, verbal expression proved too limited to express the meaning as intended. Then a problem arose and a resultant misunderstanding. The intention of the Imam was sound, and the meaning he aimed at noble and subtle. Such is, however, the usual pattern when a scholar who is also a knower seeks to convey subtle meanings to those unable to grasp them. Matters become more obscure and problematic, and the scholar becomes a target for the objections of those who are neither qualified nor well-versed in such knowledge. Know now that the existence of the world, as it contains many signs, including the names of God the Exalted and his attributes, which thing is possible only because it is as it is. There are also signs referring to the next worldly matters, which again are only possible with the world being as it is. Moreover, there are signs concerning this world, which are possible only because it is as it is. This is because light can be only by the presence of its opposite, namely darkness. Good can be only known by the presence of evil. And this also applies to virtue and corruption, benefit and harm, health and sickness, and so on. Be attentive to what we have explained in this chapter, for these are noble meanings and subtle truths that need to be fully explained and clarified by many words and lengthy expositions. God says the truth and he guides to the way.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So in this chapter, Sayyidina al-Imam al-Haddad, qaddasallahu sirrahu ta'ala, he is speaking about some very deep wisdoms about related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the creation. And it touches upon aspects of our belief as Muslims, and it touches upon as well really critical issues that humanity is facing in our world today. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open up for us the light of understanding and wisdom as we attempt to delve into some of the wisdoms that Sayyidina Imam al-Haddad is touching upon. The very first thing is that some of the textual evidences of Quran and Sunnah, they seem to indicate to the one who reads them in their outward indication and does not have a comprehensive understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God the Almighty, has only decreed and only created goodness. In other words, all that the outward meaning of these textual evidences seem to indicate that good is from Allah and evil is not from him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for example, a sahih hadith in Sahih Muslim, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported that at the beginning of his prayer, he used to make a dua, a supplication, and amongst what he would say is that, labbaik wa sa'daik, here I am, O my Lord, at your service, at your presence for prayer. Wal khayru kulluhu fi yadayk, wa sharru laysa ilayk. A rigorously authenticated narration from the Messenger of Allah where he says in dua and supplication to God that goodness belongs to you, all of it. Goodness is attributed to you, all of it. And evil is not attributed to you. Okay? So that's one narration from the Messenger of Allah. In another well-authenticated, rigorously authenticated narration. In the same book of hadith, Sahih Muslim, it's reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conveys the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God the Almighty himself, saying, Ya ibadi, innama hiya a'malukum uhsiha lakum, thumma uwaffikum iyyaha, faman wajada khayran falyahmadillah, waman wajada ghayra thalika fala yawlumanna illa nafsa. In this, what's known as Hadith Qudsi, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is conveying the words of Allah, God Almighty himself, and saying that Allah, God Almighty says, O my worshippers, O my creation, these are what you're doing in these words are only your deeds. I am recording them for you, and I will cause you to die and to be resurrected to see them. So whoever at that time, at the resurrection, when they see their deeds, whoever finds khayr, whoever finds good, then let them praise God. Let them praise Allah. فَلْيَحْمَدِ اللَّهِ. وَمَنْ وَجِدَ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ. Whoever finds anything other than good, فَلَا يَلُومَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَهُ. Then let him not blame except his own self. Do you see how, and also in this text, if someone were to read it at a superficial level, they would come to the conclusion that goodness is attributed to Allah, to God, but evil is not. And this is an incorrect belief, and it highlights the fact that as Muslims, we are prohibited, it is prohibited in our religion to read the textual evidences of Quran and Sunnah directly and try to extract legal rulings from them, whether the legal rulings relate to belief or to practice and worship, but rather that requires a comprehensive understanding. Okay? So now let's contrast those with other textual evidences also from the Quran Sunnah that make clear the correct belief, and then we'll explain what these first two narrations are trying to say. Sayyib. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran in Surah Al-Qamar, after I say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, inna kulla shay'in khalaqnahu biqadar. Verily, all things we have created in proportion and measure. The qadar, the divine decree, all things that occur in this universe and in creation are from Allah. Allah has created them according to His divine decree, His qadar. And in another verse in Surah Al-An'am, ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ خَالِكُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. That is Allah, your Lord. There is no God but He, the creator of all things, of all things. Anything that, and everything that occurs in the universe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is its creator. Okay, and then another verse getting even more explicit now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, وَإِن تُصِبْهُمْ حَسَنَةٌ يَقُولُوا هَذِهِ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ وَإِن تُصِبْهُمْ سَيِّئَةٌ يَقُولُونَ هَذِهِ مِنْ عِنْدِكَ قُلْ كُلٌّ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. That if some good befalls them, they say, this is from Allah, this is from God. But if evil, they say, this is from you, O Prophet, وَلَعَوْثُ بِاللَّهِ, the disbelievers. They used to, if some good came to them, say it was from God. And anything bad and harm or something they didn't like came to them, they would blame the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers them saying, say all things are from Allah. All things, both the good and the evil, are from Allah. These are explicit verses of Quran that make very clear our belief in Islam, that all that occurs in the universe, whether we perceive it as good or we perceive it as evil, it is all from Allah Ta'ala's divine decree. And He created it and He willed it to occur in this universe for a wisdom, as we're going to explain. And the final evidence now to prove this point comes in the same book of narrations of hadith that those other two narrations came, Sahih Muslim. There comes the narration which makes this affair very explicit, that the Messenger of Allah, once the angel Gabriel came to the Messenger of Allah in a gathering and asked him about different things. From amongst the things that were asked is, أخبرني عن الإيمان, explain to me faith. What is correct belief in this religion? And the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم replies, أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره. That correct belief, iman and faith in this religion is to believe in God, Allah, and His angels, and His books, and His prophets, and the Day of Judgment, and to believe in the divine decree. It's good and it's evil, explicitly coming in the words of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to believe all that all and good and evil, anything that occurs in this universe, that it's from Allah's divine decree and His will. So it becomes clear then by these evidences of Quran and Sunnah that this is the correct belief as the scholars have explained in Islam. Then what about those other narrations from the Messenger of Allah where he seems to indicate that good should be attributed to God, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but evil is not. Al-khayru kulluhu fi yadayk, wa sharru laysa ilayk. Rigorously authenticated, accepted narrations that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this and made this prayer, that all good is attributed to you, O God, O Allah, but evil is not attributed to you. This, the scholars explain, is explaining for the believers the etiquettes, our adab, our etiquettes with God. In our religion, Islam, just as you show etiquettes in this world to those who have rights and authority and rank over you, like your parents, like your teachers, right? Like your elders, they are due a certain degree of respect and honor. Then, if that's understood, then no one is more worthy of our respect and our etiquettes and our honor than our Creator, our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our religion establishes certain etiquettes when we address and describe our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. From amongst them is that we don't explicitly attribute the evil to Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except at the time when we need to teach the correct belief. Because we know in our hearts, according to the correct belief from all of these evidences, that everything that occurs in this universe, in creation, is from Allah, whether we perceive it as good or we perceive it as evil. That is our belief. But we don't, in our Islam, it's not from our etiquettes and manners to verbalize that, except at the time of teaching. And this comes clearly in the Quran. So that's the explanation of those narrations, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was saying that it's out of etiquettes and manners. But still remaining in your heart and knowing and understanding that whatever Allah causes to occur in this universe, it's from Him, right? And we see this clearly. We see this etiquettes and manners manifested clearly in the Quran, in Surah Al-Fatiha, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we say in our prayers every day, that اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Oh Allah, oh God, guide us to the straight path. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. The path that you have, of those who you have bestowed your blessings upon. You see, when we talk about bestowing blessings, who do we say? Sirata alladhina anamta anta, O Allah, you bestowed your blessings upon. Then what do we say right after that? Ghayril maghdubi alayhim. Not those upon whom is wrath. Not those upon whom is wrath. Whose wrath? Whose wrath? Of course, it's understood it's Allah's wrath. But it's mentioned in a way, in a passive voice, that the one who's giving the wrath and having the wrath is not mentioned. The one, guide us to the path of those ahan you, those you have blessed with your blessings, not the path upon whom is wrath, without mentioning Allah. You see the etiquettes and the manners in Islam. So in this way, we have a comprehensive understanding of these textual evidences. And we know and affirm the correct belief according to Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the overwhelming and the mainstream orthodox belief of Sunni Muslims, which is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever occurs in this universe and in creation, it's from Allah. Whether we perceive it as good or we perceive it as evil. Tayyib. مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ كَانْ وَمَا لَمْ يَشَاءَ لَمْ يَكُنْ. Whatever Allah wills, then it will occur. And whatever Allah does not will, then it will not occur. This is a saying attributed to the early Muslims, the Salaf al-Salih, the rightly guided early Muslims. Okay, so if we understand this as a starting point, then one of the problems that human beings run into, whether Muslim or non-Muslim, in our time or in previous times, is that they look upon this universe and they look upon specifically our life in this world and they see all types of things occurring, which they cannot understand. They see, yes, there may be in this world beauty, and there may be goodness, and there may be mercy, and there may be justice. But at the same time, as Imam al-Haddad points out in this chapter, the opposites we also see in this universe. So if we see beauty, then we see evil as well, and we see corruption as well, and we see injustice as well, and oppression, and wrongdoing, and terrible calamities, sometimes befalling people who we really can't understand how they could even deserve those things. And we can't understand why this is occurring in the world. And so this creates a great problem for a great many people, okay? And in this chapter, Imam al-Haddad is directing us our attention to understand this issue well and to know, first of all, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He, like we explained, anything that occurs in this universe, in this creation, is by His will and His decree, okay? But that does not mean that He commanded it, nor is He pleased with it. Whatever occurs in this world or this universe is by Allah's will and His decree, but it does not mean that He commanded it or He is pleased with it. So Allah's will and His decree is one thing, and Allah's command and His pleasure is another. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this explicit in a verse of Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفُرِ. And He is not pleased with ingratitude from His servants. Literally the word kufr, which we commonly know as disbelief, to go outside of Islam and deny Allah, to deny God, is here translated as ingratitude because that's its linguistic root. Allah is not pleased with His servants when they are ungrateful to Him, when they turn away from Him, and when they deny Him. It's not part of His rida, His pleasure. But when it happens in this world, in this universe, is it by Allah's will and decree? Yes, it's by Allah's will and decree. Because Allah's will and decree is one thing, and what He commanded and what He's pleased with is yet another. So that becomes clear from these verses. So, yani, this is the correct understanding and the correct explanation. Imam Ibrahim al-Laqani, one of the great imams of the science of Usul al-Din, principles of belief in Islam, who's the author of the famous Johar al-Tawheed, which is a foundational text in the science of creed that the Muslims have accepted throughout the centuries and is studied in the East and the West. He says exactly what I just explained, that madhab ahlul haqq, the way of the people of truth, of right guidance from the orthodox Sunni Islam, is that ma aradahu Allah ta'ala fahuwa ka'in, whatever Allah wills, then it will occur. وَكُلُّ كَائِنٍ فَهُوَ مُرَادٌ لَهُ, and whatever occurs in this universe, then it is from his will, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِن لَمْ يَكُنْ مَرْضِيًّا لَهُ وَلَا مَأْمُورًا بِهِ, even if he's not necessarily commanding that thing or pleased with it. So you see, his command is one, or his will and decree is one thing, and his command and his pleasure is another. And this is how we understand these different verses and evidences of the Quran Sunnah. And this is how this is the correct and orthodox belief. Now, getting to the point now, okay? So Imam al-Haddad is now taking us to dive a little bit deep into the wisdom. We said Allah creates everything in this universe, including what we perceive as good and what we perceive as evil, right? And that the reason why we articulate it that way is because in reality, good and evil are in relation to the creation, okay? We see things that we don't understand and we can't see any benefit or wisdom in them, and so we describe them as evil. And we see other things that we perhaps can understand and we see benefit in them, and so we describe them as goodness, okay? In relation to Allah, what we call good and what we call evil, all of it is one. Because Allah has a wisdom in what we perceive as good, and Allah has a wisdom in what we perceive as evil. And all of it is from his decree. And these are some of the wisdoms that Imam al-Haddad is trying to convey to you in this chapter. So, what are the possible wisdoms for what's occurring in this world and in this universe from these different opposites that Imam al-Haddad is pointing out to us? Things like justice versus injustice, light versus dark, oppression and security and safety, or you could say well-being and illness, tribulation and being saved from tribulation. All of these different things are occurring in this world, and we're seeing them around us. What are some of the wisdoms that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed in them? Well, one of them has been explained in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. One of the wisdoms for what we perceive in this world as evil is Allah, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described to us in the Quran when he said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ لِنُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Corruption has appeared on land and sea because of the evil that the hands of man have produced, have earned. That Allah may give them a taste of some of their deeds in order that they may turn back from that evil. Now, this, if we are all, this is something even the most stubborn disbeliever, the most stubborn atheist, even if you probe deeply into the depths of their soul, they will acknowledge this fact. They acknowledge the fact that the human being does not turn back to a higher power, turn back to their Lord and Creator, like when they are in tribulation, right? And so the story of this goes, we have the example of this from one of our great imams, Sayyidina al-Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one of the early Muslims, one of the direct descendants of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the great imams of the Muslims in knowledge and wisdom and piety and right guidance. And it's reported from him that he once met a man who was like what we'd call atheists of this time. In that time they existed as well. They would call ad-dahriya, the people who believe that there's no life except the life of this world. And after it, there's no existence. Imam al-Ja'far al-Sadiq radiallahu anhu, it's reported that he met one of these people getting to the point of this wisdom. And he began to converse with this man and ask him, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq asks him, have you ever experienced the ocean and its terrors? The ocean, we here on this earth cannot even perceive with our eye anything more great and more overwhelming and more majestic than the ocean, standing there on the shore and seeing it fill up the horizon, right? So Sayyidina Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq asks this man, have you ever witnessed the terrors and the frights of the ocean? And the man says, yes, and he begins to recount a story. He says, I was on a ship traveling in the sea, and we were with the captain and all of the people on the ship trying to cross through the sea, and a terrible storm came in the ocean, and the waves were crashing up over the sides of the boat, okay? And then the boat actually, one of the waves came down on the boat, destroyed the boat, and threw me out into the ocean in the middle of this stormy sea. And I was just clinging to some boards of that broken ship, trying to stay afloat. And as I'm trying to cling onto these boards in the ocean, the waves become too overwhelming, and even that plank, that piece of wood that I'm trying to hold on to stay afloat, even that was lost. And I was in the ocean. And Sayyidina Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq is listening to this incredible story of this man, and he asks him, when you were in that state, when you were there alone in the waves, in the ocean, did you have hope that you would be saved? And the man said, yes, I did have hope. He said, what was your hope in? مَا كَانَ رَجَاءُكَ فِي لِأَنَّ the Arabic language, the word for hope in Arabic, رَجَاء, linguistically must have a متعلق. You have to have رَجَاء فِي something. You have to have hope in something. And he said, Sayyidina Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq radiallahu anhu, he says, your hope was in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says to him, you put all, at first when you were on that ship, traveling with the captain and all of the passengers, you had put all of your hope in the captain and the crew of the ship to guide you through those stormy seas. When that was lost and you were into the water, then you put all your hope in those boards or planks of wood that you were clinging to try to be saved. When even that was taken from you and you were left alone in the ocean in the waves, then where was your hope placed in? And he says, it was in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, and this is a reality. If you ask even the most stubborn of people who deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and deny a higher power or a creator in this time, if you take them and they get into a situation where they're in absolute dire need and the end is near, then that's when the human being connects with their creator. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains this reality of the nature of the human being in the Quran. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا أَنْعَمْنَا عَلَى إِنسَانٍ وَإِذَا أَنْعَمْنَا عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ أَعْرَضَ وَنَآ بِجَانِبِهِ وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ فَذُو دُعَاءٍ عَرِيدٍ. When we bestow favors on man, he withdraws and turns on his side instead of coming to us. And when evil seizes him or some harm seizes him, then he comes full of prolonged prayer and prolonged supplication. Allah explained the nature of the human being, right? And so, one of the wisdoms of this creation and what's occurring in it from all of these opposites is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants his creation to turn back to him. And when they're in pleasure and luxury and comfort and ease, then those become veils for them between them and their Lord. And the human being, doesn't matter who it is, what faith, what religion, what background, the human being by his nature does not turn back to his Lord the way like he does when he's in absolute dire need, right? Like Sayyidina Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq conveyed to that man, and the man ends up accepting Islam and coming into Islam after understanding this. Tayyib. So, this is one of the wisdoms for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this manifest in his creation, all right? Then another of these wisdoms, and this is getting to some of what Imam Al-Haddad rahimahullah ta'ala is explaining in this chapter. Another wisdom about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowing all of these opposites to occur in this world of good and evil, justice and injustice, right? Light and darkness, guidance and misguidance, right? Comfort and ease versus trials and tribulations. All of these opposites are here in this world for a reason. And the saying of the Arabs captures this idea where they have a saying where they say وَبِدِدِّهَا تَتَبَيَّنَ الْأَشْيَاءُ بِدِدِّهَا تَتَبَيَّنَ الْأَشْيَاءُ by opposites things are known, by opposites things are known, which is a truth and a reality which all of us, if we reflect upon ourselves and our lives, we can realize. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us all right now a certain degree of well-being, a certain degree of wellness and health, right? And that state, when it's extended and prolonged, how heedless do we become of the realities of illness and sickness, right? Which you only really understand the blessing of your health and your well-being when some illness befalls you. We ask Allah for protection and well-being always. But we only really understand your state of well-being and your state of good health once you get stricken with illness, right? And similarly, all other aspects. We just passed through the season of summer, right? And we can only truly appreciate the warmth and the bright sunlight and the long days of summer and all of that once we go through what's coming in the long, cold winter, right? And so there's a wisdom even in the changing of the seasons, in all of these changings of states and all these changing of affairs that Allah Ta'ala is causing His creation to go through. There is the wisdom in that, because only through that does the human being really, really see, really with clarity appreciate blessing and health and well-being and right guidance, right? The one who entered this religion from having been other than it is the one who truly appreciates what this religion means to them. And how often do we hear from them to say, if it wasn't for this religion, I would have been destroyed. This religion saved me. This religion saved my life, my worldly life, and my otherworldly life, right? So by opposites, things are known. And this is a great wisdom for Allah Ta'ala to create this universe the way He created it, that Imam al-Haddad is indicating to you. And Imam al-Haddad explains this wisdom in, he has a book called Al-Hikam, the aphorisms, the wise sayings of Imam al-Haddad. It's another of his texts other than this one of Knowledge and Wisdom. In that he explains this same exact wisdom where he says that الْخَلْقُ مَا الْحَقِّ لَا يَقْلُوا أَحَدٌ مِّنْهُمْ مِنْ أَنْ يَكُونَ مِكِي إِحْدَ دَارَتَيْنِ. In relation to Allah, the creation are in one of two spheres. Now look at how he explains in this aphorism about this wisdom of the opposites. He says, in relation to Allah, the creation are in one of two spheres. The sphere of mercy and the sphere of wisdom. Allah Ta'ala created the creation and Allah Ta'ala put all of them into one of two spheres. Either they're in the sphere of mercy or in the sphere of wisdom. So the one who is today in the sphere of mercy, tomorrow will be entered into the sphere of grace. Fadl. And the one who is in today in the sphere of wisdom, Allah's adl, tomorrow he will be, the one who's today in the sphere of wisdom, Allah's hikmah, then tomorrow he will be in the sphere of justice, Allah's adl. So today refers to the life of this world, and tomorrow refers to the world of the next. And what the wisdom, what the aphorism is getting to, is a reality which comes in the narrations of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Imam al-Haddad indicated to one of them in the chapter, that Allah Ta'ala, the explanation of this wisdom is that Allah Ta'ala, from before time, Allah Ta'ala is pre-eternal, has no beginning. And He had all of His attributes from before time. Before time even, Allah was characterized by the attributes of Jamal and the attributes of Jalal. Allah has the attributes of beauty and the attributes of majesty. The attributes of beauty, like the most merciful, the most generous, the gentle, al-latif, the loving, al-wudud. And as you know, in the 99 names, so many of them referring to Allah's gentleness, beauty, and mercy. But other attributes from the 99 names of Allah refer to his attributes of majesty, jalal, like al-jabbar, the compeller, al-qahhar, the subduer, al-muntakim, the avenger. This is also part of Allah Ta'ala's attributes. So Allah, from before time, from His beginningless existence, had both of these types of attributes. And Allah decreed from His wisdom, His infinite knowledge and wisdom, that He would create creation and make in them manifestations of both types of attributes. So He created from His creation a group who would be manifestations of His beatific, His attributes of beauty, mercy and gentleness and love. Even though they may have aspects of His wisdom upon them. And He created another group who would be manifestations of His majesty. That's the sphere of Allah's wisdom in this world. Those people who has put Allah in His wisdom. And they manifest on them Allah's majesty. And in the next life, will be manifest on them Allah's justice. And this is the explanation of Sayyidina Imam al-Haddad's aphorism and the explanation of what he's saying in this chapter, which is that from the wisdoms of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creating this creation with these opposites, is that they would be manifestations of his attributes, of the beatific and beautiful attributes and the attributes of majesty in this world, right? And so through these opposites, that Allah Ta'ala, the creation, could come to know him, Tayyib, and to recognize both his beauty and his majesty, right? And so this is another of the wisdoms of Allah Ta'ala creating the universe in this way, Tayyib. So in reality though, all that we can do in this regard is approximate and try to give some type of understanding to this world and what occurs in it. In reality, think about this principle. A judge in our world, a judge who's going to sit in his courthouse, in his courtroom, and give a trial, right? Can he make a judgment before the evidences and the facts and both sides' arguments are presented? What kind of a judge would give a conclusion and a judgment and a ruling without hearing all the evidence? Only a fool and only a transgressor. But if you're going to judge correctly, you need to have all the evidence. So the question for us as human beings, as creations of Allah, do we have all of the evidence? Do we have all of the facts? Are all of the facts before us? And the reality is, we don't have even a drop in the ocean of the reality of this creation and this universe and the secrets behind it. That reality is what the story of Sayyidina Musa and Sayyidina Al-Khidr in Surah Al-Kahf is coming to remind us. Where this great prophet of God, one of the greatest prophets of God, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, the prophet Moses, of course, one of the greatest, closest people to Allah and most knowledgeable people to Allah, of the creation of Allah. And look at how he goes on that journey with someone who, according to most of the scholars, is not a prophet, Sayyidina Al-Khidr. And Sayyidina Musa, so many those different things manifest from Sayyidina Al-Khidr, which Sayyidina Musa does not have knowledge of and cannot understand. From amongst the things that manifest to Sayyidina Musa is that Sayyidina Musa building the wall, right? And not accepting for it any payment, right? And Sayyidina Musa cannot understand why, right? And Sayyidina Al-Khidr explains why. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأما الجدار فكان لغلامين يتيمين في المدينة وكان تحته كنز لهما وكان أبوهما صالحا فأراد ربك أن يبلغا أشدهما ويستخرجا كنزهما رحمة من ربك وما فعلت عن أمري ذلك تأويل ما لم تستطع عليه صبرا. That as for the wall that we built, it was for two young men who are orphans in this city, and underneath that wall that we built is a treasure for them. وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. And their father was a righteous man. Their father was a righteous man. So your Lord wished for them to reach older age, that they would be able to get that treasure from that. Because their father was righteous and made dua, made supplication for his children, for his progeny, Allah wanted these children to this dua to be answered and manifest in these children. The scholars of tafsir explained that in the Arabic language, it's permissible to use the word ab for a grandfather or a great grandfather or any of one's forefathers. And they explain that this father of these two young men was actually their eighth grandfather, going back eight generations, according to the scholars of tafsir. And because of this pious person from eight generations prior, Allah kept that righteous supplication and kept it and caused it to be manifest eight generations later. So these two young orphan boys would gain the reward of that supplication. A reminder for us that things are occurring in this world, in this universe, with secrets beyond which we cannot even imagine. We cannot even imagine. And if we even just reflect upon the fact that all we know from other human beings is their outward. We don't even have an idea of what's in their hearts, right? And all of the sins that they commit in secret, or all of the things that are occurring. So when we're honest with ourselves, we realize that we don't have all of the facts. And so we cannot make judgments on this creation and what occurs in it. And so then the conclusion that we get is what Imam Sayyidina Imam Al-Haddad rahimahullah ta'ala is saying in this chapter is touching upon some of these wisdoms that Allah is manifesting, for why Allah is manifesting this universe in this way with its opposites. But in reality, the human being is incapable of understanding the wisdom behind this creation. So, Sayyidina Imam Mulla Ali al-Qari, a great scholar of the religion, he says that our relation to Allah's divine decree and our relation to it, and the parable of the creation with Allah and His divine decree, what Allah is causing to occur in this world and this universe. We are like, back to that story of Sayyidina Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, we are like people in the ocean, caught in these stormy seas. What happens to us in this world are like waves crashing in. Sometimes things happen and you never expect it, and you can't even imagine why this is occurring. It's coming from left and right in ways that you can't expect and you cannot control. It's like the waves of those stormy seas hitting you from left and from right. Then what is the ship of salvation? Sayyidina Imam Mulla Ali al-Qari, he says, the ship of salvation, Safinat al-Najah, the words of Allah. It's the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who says, La yus'alu amma yaf'alu wa hum yus'alun. He cannot be questioned for his acts, but they will be questions for theirs. This is the verse which is like the ship of salvation through the stormy seas of this world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open up our hearts to the correct understanding, to allow us to see the truth as truth, and give us the tawfiq to follow it, and see falsehood as falsehood, and to be saved from it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward Sayyidina Imam al-Haddad and all of the rightly guided scholars of Islam the greatest reward, and to raise up their ranks in Jannah, and to return upon us from their knowledge and wisdom and blessings and light. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward all of our teachers and mashayikh the best of rewards. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us beneficial knowledge and righteous action upon that knowledge. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to dispel from us and all of the believers all types of tribulations, hardships, calamities, and illnesses, and to give us long life in the worship of Him and service of this religion, and the death upon kalima of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bi sir al-Fatiha ila hadrat Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Fatiha.